Ezekiel is a prophetic book written some 600 years before the birth of Jesus and perhaps written during the most turbulent time of Israel's life in the Old Testament. Ezekiel starts prophesying when all is well but shaky. The clouds are on the horizon that things are bad, that things may get worse, that trouble is on the horizon. Israel is in a time of waning influence, and the nations around it are gaining in their influence and in their militarization. They're gaining in their weapons and in their strength and in their economies, and Israel finds itself surrounded. By the time that Ezekiel finishes his prophetic ministry, some 25 years later, Jerusalem has been destroyed by the Babylonians. They destroyed it because they wanted to keep Israel in line. They wanted Israel to be a puppet of Babylon. And they destroyed the capital city because they wanted to put all of the Jewish people under the thumb of Babylonian rule. The most magnificent building in Jerusalem is the temple of God, the temple which had been placed by David, which had been taken possession of by God's Spirit in the time of Solomon, right after it was built. The house where it was believed, every good Jew believed that that was where God himself dwelled. God's house was destroyed. And Ezekiel and many of his friends and family were kidnapped and moved 700 miles away from Jerusalem to Babylon, modern-day Iraq, because that was a means of crowd control. You take all the people who can make trouble, the people who can read, the people who can make weapons, the people who have been involved in politics and things like that. You move them all 700 miles away so they can't have contact and they can't do things under your nose. And then you can watch them kind of closely. And so Ezekiel and the people are questioning, where is God? How could God have let this happen? And Ezekiel lays out a case throughout this long prophetic book, and particularly in chapter 34. Ezekiel lays out the case that both the priests, the religious leaders, and the political leaders of the day put their trust in themselves rather than in the Lord. Ezekiel names the priests, the religious leaders, and the politicians as shepherds who were supposed to be shepherding the sheep. But they chose to take care of themselves first. And the destruction and awfulness that came from the failure of the religious and political leaders is reward, punishment, for failure to lead like a shepherd. Now, this is a common image. This is something that we're familiar with. Everybody's favorite psalm is the 23rd psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." Jesus himself in John's gospel calls himself the good shepherd. Jesus instructs Peter, the risen Jesus, instructs Peter, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs." So the image of shepherds was familiar to the original hearers of Ezekiel's sermon. But shepherds were some of the hardest working of all the professions in many ways. And the reason for that was because you had to take care of sheep. And it had to be a hard-working profession because, I don't know if you know this, but sheep don't know when you're off the clock. The sheep don't punch a time clock. So shepherds had to be out there in all types of weather. They couldn't say, you know what, I'm not really going in today because it's terrible outside. That wasn't allowed. Nor was it allowed for the shepherd to say, you know what, there have been way too many animal attacks lately and we've lost way too many sheep, so I'm just going to phone it in and I'll watch from afar. No, you had to go out into the field and protect them and perhaps move the sheep from one hillside, one dangerous hillside, to one that was more peaceful and safe. And that's why false shepherds were such an important image Because the worst thing you could do, the worst person you could hire, would be a false shepherd, would be a shepherd who didn't care about the sheep. The worst person you could hire was somebody who didn't know where the sheep were, who had let them wander off, and then there goes your wool, there goes your meat, there goes your income. And there were poor shepherds in that day, shepherds who had other interests, shepherds who didn't care if the sheep wandered off into danger, shepherds who couldn't be bothered to care for the sheep. Now, what does this image have to do with the priests and the political leaders? Well, Ezekiel says, your job, priests and political leaders, to feed these sheep. It's your job to feed people. Sometimes they fed them directly. It was the job of the priests and the political leaders to make sure that the food gets distributed directly, that people have access to food. And we have that same thing today. That's why churches are so involved with food banks and with hunger ministry and the Westmoreland County Community Food Bank, feeding people directly, making sure that children and adults don't go to bed hungry. But I had a colleague in the ministry who's passed on now, Al Kovacs. He used to say that he would tell his congregation that his job was to feed people's souls and to help people figure out how to get to heaven. So evidently, the priests and the leaders in Ezekiel's day didn't feed the souls either. Wasn't only not looking out for their physical needs, but also the priests were too interested in doing other things than providing good news and good messages for the people. Shepherds also had to be jack of all trades kind of thing. They had to mend fences and care for the weakest sheep. They had to know a little bit of carpentry. They had to know a little bit of how to protect the flock. Now, Ezekiel was prophesying on land that was not theirs. He was prophesying 700 miles away. He was on foreign soil. And many of the people were truly homesick. They were surrounded by babbling Babylonians. Can you imagine being picked up and taken to a land where you don't know the language and where you don't know the religious nature, you don't know their gods, and you've been taken up and you've been put in a different land and you're now told, you're going to be here as long as we decide that you're going to live here. What do? Do you set down roots? Or do you wait for that day when you go back? You might wait for a while, but what happens? 20, 30 years go by. Ezekiel was on foreign soil and he was saying, don't give up hope. There is a good shepherd. Even if human shepherds have failed you, even if we are on foreign soil, you will be taken care of by the good shepherd, God the Father. We know what it's like to feel like we're on foreign soil. We know what it's like to feel like things have changed. You just have to turn on the television and realize the difference between what's on MTV today versus the Ed Sullivan Show of years gone by, right? Turn on VH1 and compare that to the Andy Griffith Show of days gone by. Have you ever felt, and if you have ever felt this way, you'll know how Ezekiel felt, that you don't recognize the very land in which you're living. You don't recognize the streets you walk down or the country that you're in anymore. Then you know how Ezekiel felt. I've thought about this a lot because they say that when you get up in the morning, and by the time you go to bed at night in America, you are exposed to 5,000 advertisements. Now that's a high number because they're including like every time you see a Coke can, that's an advertisement. That's a lot. It's a high number, but it's still really high. And that includes advertisements on television, it includes billboards, It includes things like that. And I often think, you know, what does that say about our society? 5,000 ads a day for Coca-Cola and for this and for that. Look at the billboards that are around. How many signs do you see about God? How many billboards do you see about church? How many advertisements do you hear about God? And then we wonder why society is in such a state. We wonder, we scratch our heads, and we think, gee, we've got some problems here. When we were in Germany 2 weeks ago, our one friend is responsible for the social ministry arm of his church, which they call the diakonie, deacons, same word, but it means service. And one of the things that I think is remarkable and that's so different from German and American society is we walked under a railway line. We were going out for to play at the playground with the kids, and there was a gigantic billboard for the social arm of the church, diakonie. And it talked about how you could help and how you could give. And I thought, how different that is. I can't remember the last time I've seen a billboard for Bread for the World or for Crop Walk or for any of those organizations involved with the church. And so sometimes we feel like we really have jumped into the deep end and the water is over our heads. You remember when we had the blue laws and when Sunday was used, what? Sunday was used for church and for family visitation, right? You would go and visit folks. Now, as a kid, I don't quite remember the blue laws, but I can remember a little bit of it because I know a lot of stores were closed on Sunday, and I know that Mom and Dad took me around to visit retirement homes, which I thought was the worst thing in the world you could possibly do to a five-year-old. Because there were no toys there. Yeah, right? Today, Sunday's just another day, right? People work on Sunday. Stores are open on Sunday. Most of the stores you will see during your week, most of them, not all, but most of them will be open today, are open right now. And Ezekiel says, it feels weird. It feels like something's not right. It feels like something's out of time. We pastors fall into this sometimes too. When we plan worship, we think of what will please ourselves and what will the congregation go for when we plan worship. But the real question about worship is not what makes me happy, but what makes God happy. And God says that I will be the shepherd. If the people are going to mess it up, I will be their shepherd eternally. Forever. And what does God say He will do? He says He will feed the sheep. He will protect the sheep. He will take care of us. Yesterday at this very chancel area, we had a wedding. And the wedding couple had a beautiful reading from one of my favorite texts that I don't think I've ever preached on at a wedding from Colossians, Paul's letter to the church in Colossae. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, Paul writes, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion." And it struck me when I was preparing this sermon that that's exactly what God is talking about doing in Ezekiel 34. He'll have compassion on the people. And it's even more true when you realize, when you study the word compassion, Paul uses it for humankind, but 90% of the time that it's used in the Bible, it's not used for humankind, it's used for God. God has compassion on us as an antidote for having a bad day, or as an antidote for sin. God has compassion on the people of Israel as an antidote for them turning away from Him. Has compassion on the false shepherds, even though they don't deserve compassion. And so God reaches out to the false shepherds and says, "I forgive you, I love you, I will bring you back, I will bring you home." And I thought, how remarkable that is, that Paul applies it, and I said this in the wedding sermon yesterday, that Paul applies it to humankind. Because what that means, especially to a married couple, is that we are required by Paul, by the scriptures, to have compassion on someone else even when we don't really deserve it. Even when we've really messed up. Even when all we can say is, you know what, I made a mistake. I can't fix it. We are required, Paul says, to have compassion. Not because we deserve it. Not because we're particularly lovable. I know sometimes I am not particularly lovable. I think we can all say that about ourselves, at least if we're honest. And Paul says that's what we're required to do. Have compassion. Not because you deserve it, but because God loves you. So instead of keeping count, instead of saying, you know what, I deserve God's attention, I demand God's attention, God has compassion on us. So where does this leave us in 2016? Where does this leave us when we look around and we say, it seems like there are only false shepherds and false leaders? We feel like we're living on a land that doesn't seem all that familiar to us. What do we have in common with Ezekiel? Well, Ezekiel says, listen to that God of compassion. Focus on that God of compassion. And make sure that your acts in life give honor to that compassion. If God loved that hungry person, that hungry man, enough to create him in the image and likeness of God, then we're supposed to show compassion on that man by feeding him. If God loved enough that homeless person, created him as lovingly as God created you or me, or that infant that we baptize at the font, then we are called to minister compassionately to that homeless man or woman. We are called to make that connection to God, the God of compassion, the God whose heart loves us even when we don't deserve it. And if we minister in that way, with compassion in our hearts, imitating God the Father above, then we will indeed be considered good shepherds in the mold of Jesus Christ. Amen.